This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
High noon, as our friend Adam Jones likes to say. Jones and Keith, but Mego and Lyons, John Lyons in with you until 2 p.m. today. If you're out on the roads right now, first of all, go with God. I hope I have not monitored traffic because I'm actually not traveling this 4th of July holiday, which I feel
we'll be here.
I feel kind of okay about because, first of all, I love my job. But second of all, it does seem to be the perfect storm of just a traffic nightmare. Like, it's the first weekend where it looks like we're not going to have a rainy day. And July 4th is on a Friday. Like, it's all great, great reasons to be at some beachfront town or lakefront town and be celebrated. Especially if you were at the Greg Hill Roadshow this morning at Lake Winnipesaukee. But it also feels like it's a nightmare out there.
And I'm not a big July 4th traveler anyway for a lot of those reasons you just said in a typical year. But one where it's finally a nice full weekend and it's on a Friday, yeah, it's going to be tough out there.
So that was Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. I think that was from Patriots minicamp a couple weeks ago, June 10th, discussing monitoring holdout situations around the league. Now, this is kind of a different summer for the Patriots in that they're not in a position where they really have holdouts on their roster. So that's a nice place for them to be in. But when it comes to holdouts around the league, of course, one that continues to make news is Terry McLaurin on my beloved Washington Commanders. Now, Terry McLaurin came out of that draft where you could have had him. And a lot of people thought that he was the type where Bill Belichick would have gone for him. He was in the N'Keal Harry draft.
Yeah, Harry went 32.
With DK Metcalf. Yeah. And
McLaurin didn't even go to like the third or fourth round.
No.
Yeah, whereas Metcalf and Brown went in the second round.
He's a guy who's perennially kind of underrated. And then he gets Jaden Daniels last year and absolutely explodes, shows himself to be the deep threat that people always, if you were paying attention to him, thought that he could be. Always underrated. Here's some deets from the Boston Globe's Nicole Yang. She says the Patriots still have the most salary cap space in the league with more than $60 million for potential roster moves this summer and into the season. Other teams with considerable room are San Francisco, Detroit, Arizona, and Green Bay. The average annual value of Terry McLaurin's deal at $23.2 million ranks 16th among his position group, of course, wide receivers. Pittsburgh's DK Metcalf at $33 million and Cincinnati's T. Higgins at $28.75 million both inked lucrative extensions this offseason, so McLaurin is likely seeking an AAV closer in that range. I'm going to say from my perspective of these reports that we continue to see, you know, with the tweeted graphic from NFL insiders saying that Terry McLaurin and the Washington Commanders are still far apart in where they see his contract being, or where rather it should be for his AAV per year, I think that's more indicative of teams being away. I think that's more indicative of players being away from the stadiums, of being far away from training camp still, and that nobody's really chatting right now. I think it's vacation time for everybody in the NFL. And so talks, I don't know this for sure, but just reading the landscape, I would say that has less to do with those two sides on the Commanders and McLaurin butting heads and more to do with there's not a lot of phone calls happening right now because everybody's on the beach.
Yeah, my expectation is that Washington will re-sign him because some of it's what you mentioned, but also you have Jaden Daniels, a really good quarterback on a rookie contract. Like, this is the time to spend for a guy like McLaurin who turns 30 in September. You just went to the NFC Championship game. And no, I don't think you're as good as the Eagles, but I mean, maybe you catch
him. You mean if you're the Commanders.
Right. You catch him on the right day. You can be, so point being, I expect Washington will keep McLaurin around. But if I'm the Patriots, I would go all in to get Terry. I wouldn't probably trade a first-round pick for him, but I'd
so
trade.
So that's not all in.
So, but I would trade like 2 seconds or a second and a third. Like, I would be willing to trade a lot for, I mean, this is a guy that would walk in here and be the best player on your offense. And the best player your offense has had in the last 5 years. Really, I mean, we're talking about a guy that had 1,000 yards receiving last year. He was second in the NFL with 13 receiving touchdowns, which is, again, something you've struggled in most of the last 5 years in the red zone. Also, 422 yards after the catch. And we've seen, especially in the Josh McDaniels offense, yards after the catch can be a big deal in that offense. So he would walk in and be not only your best offensive player right now, the best one you've had in the last 5 years. Defenses would have to game plan fully around him. It would take some of the pressure off Stephon Diggs and his recovery. It would be great for Drake May. And oh, by the way, as I mentioned, ton of money to spend here.
Right? Ton of money.
The money to spend.
That's what it comes down to more than anything. For me, 617-779-7937 if you want to jump in on a little Patriots conversation here around Terry McLaurin. Do you feel like it's a realistic grab for the Patriots? Should they be going for another wide receiver when they have a dozen? And even though Mike Vrabel likes to say everybody has a dozen in their room right now, you have a lot of wide receivers that you have at least some kind of investment in right now, because you have guys that you drafted in the second round. You have guys that are just on their second career year. And last year, a lot of people would say was so utterly dysfunctional that it's not fair to those guys. Well, the NFL is not a developmental league, so it's not always fair. But I think it's interesting that you say Terry McLaurin would be immediately the most talented offensive weapon that you've had in the last 5 years or so. So you think Terry McLaurin greater than Stephon Diggs if Stephon Diggs is healthy?
Yes, right now. Oh, yeah, he's a little bit younger. He had more yards per route run last year as well. So obviously Diggs only played 8 games, but he had more yards per route run, more yards after the catch as well. His raw numbers, obviously, because he played a full season, are better. But yeah, I think the age plays a little bit into it. Also, Diggs is, and I like Diggs' versatility. He split his snaps a lot between being wide and being in the slot last year. McLaurin's primarily an outside guy, so at least you can put him somewhere, and you know he's going to, you can put him at the Z outside. He is going to be really, really good there, right? And you'll be all set at that position for 3 or 4 years. And I think, again, if he, you bring in Terry McLaurin, if you're the Patriots, that can make you a playoff team. Like, right now, I think you're probably right on that outside looking in, that 8-9 win range-ish if things break right. And I think 9 wins, I don't know if that gets you in the playoffs. You bring in Terry McLaurin, I think you're a playoff team.
The Patriots made some pretty big moves in free agency, among them, of course, Stephon Diggs and Milton Williams. But when you hear that they still have the most salary cap space in the league at $60 million, and the next team on that list is $45.7 million with San Francisco. Do you think that there's a lot more work that they need to do with the roster? We're talking about heading into training camp with $60 million in potential space against the cap.
And I think it's a combination of two things, right? We're seeing, and we've seen this, this is the reason that, and not to, to relitigate this, the reason Bill Belichick's not head coach here anymore, they didn't draft well from 2017 to 2022. And a lot of those guys, if they were here, they would be on their second contracts and you'd have a lot less cap space. So to me, that's the biggest part of it, is you don't have those, you know, 5, 6, 7 really good players that you re-signed. Like, you just, you don't have those guys. Basically, you have Barmore, who you re-signed, Stevenson, you overpaid for a re-sign, and Onwenu. And like, that's, and Duggar. So you have 4 guys instead of like 12, right? Instead of, you know, 6 or 7 more. That's part of it. And another part of it is, They've spent money on Milt Williams, yes. They spent some money on Stephon Diggs. But prior to that, like they didn't spend enough on, say, DK Metcalf. Godwin turned their money down. And a lot of that's a symptom of they haven't been good enough for guys to want to come here. Unless it's for, like, Milton Williams' case, absolute top dollar. And I think if you bring in a guy like McLaurin, yes, you'd have to pay him. But then he's one of those guys that all of a sudden you can start to change the perception where you can be a good team again. And instead of winning 8 games total in 2 years like they have, now all of a sudden you can be a team that, hey, we're going to challenge for a playoff spot. And maybe guys will be more likely to come here because that's been an issue. They haven't drafted well. And outside of paying absolute top dollar like they did in 2021 and they did last year, guys haven't really wanted to come here as free agents either.
Do you think he's a $30 million AAV guy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if Chris Godwin is a $30 million AAV guy or DK Metcalf is, and look, I think DK Metcalf is a little bit better of a player than McLaurin, but McLaurin's in that neighborhood. And with the cap going up and $60 million, you can give him $30 million a year and still have $30 million in cap space.
Yeah, that is the wildest thing.
You think about it. So yes, I frankly, because not only for how good he is, Mego, but what he would mean for their offense specifically.
I don't think he's going to be available in a real way. I think he's going to reach terms with Washington by the time that training camp starts, or if it's a holdout in training camp, it lasts a couple days. I don't think he's realistically going to be available. But if he is, I agree with you. If you're in a position where you're going to have $30 million left over, you're going to be close to probably like you're going to be in the top 10 with money against left cap space left, you really don't have an excuse not to go for him. If there's something about your wide receiver group that you're so in love with that you're like, you guys don't know what Jalen Polk is doing on his own. You don't see it. You don't see it in minicamp. The way that he's going to come back from this injury, like we have been there. We have sat there and seen the wide receivers. I think it's pretty safe to say that Stephon Diggs, for the most part, still looks far and away the best receiver on the team compared to the rest of your receivers. And there's a reason why, all due respect, you have an undrafted free agent, very highly paid undrafted free agent, but someone like Efton Chisholm III, who is a real contender, I think, to make this team in that wide receiver room coming out of the Eastern Washington. Like, no disrespect there, but it's a bloated room, and it's bloated with a lot of flat talent. And so if McLaurin gets to the point where he is so upset with Washington and he flat out doesn't want to be there anymore, demands a trade, like, you pounce on that. That is immediately an, I agree with you, offense-changing move.
Last year, I think, Mego, they probably had the worst receiver room in the NFL. I mean, they were right.
100%.
Them, Carolina, you know,
no,
flip a coin.
I think they definitely them.
So right now, I think maybe they're at 23, 24. Like, if Diggs is healthy and good, I like Kyle Williams. And McDaniels coordinating it, I think, will make them better. But still, we're talking about a receiver room in the 20s, right? If you bring in McLaurin, all of a sudden, maybe you're 15th. And I know 15th doesn't jump out. It's not sexy. It's a hell of a lot better than 32, right? And that's a huge step in the right direction. And again, to your earlier point, yeah, you might have 8 guys in that receiver room. How many guys do you look at in that receiver room and say, oh, that guy would be part of a great offense? Like Diggs, DeMario Douglas, I guess maybe Kyle Williams. That it? I mean, real. And I like Kendrick Bourne a lot. Had 800 yards in his 1 year working with McDaniels in 2021. But he's coming off his, you know, second year removed from an injury, getting a little older. He's probably your fifth guy, right? And then maybe Jalen Polk, you stick around because you used a second round pick on him and he's your sixth guy. But again, not a lot of guys in that room that I look at and say, wow, that guy is going to be a key piece on a great offense someday.
There's a lot of guys who seem to have potential and just flat out can't figure it out. And I'm thinking of Kayshon Booty. And I'm thinking
of,
that's what I mean. Yeah. Can't figure it out. Javon Baker, I think bye-bye. Like, I think that ship has sailed. It's unfortunate. But even in talking with a skills coach who worked with him from when he was in middle school in the offseason, being like, it was a maturity problem for him. And he may just be too far behind where the group needs to be to play catch up here. Like, that's it. It just may not happen on the timeline for that guy. And I think it's frustrating because you have so many bodies in that room, and you can't say that they don't take swings on these guys. Jalen Polk, when you took him, remember in last year's draft, Jalen Polk and Javon Baker were supposed to be like, woo, Patriots fleece the draft. Look at the two that they got for the price of one. And then you turn around and you watch Ladd McConkey be the guy that he is in LA. Yeah. I still always want to say San Diego. It's so frustrating because you can't totally fault the Patriots for not going in on it. It's been a rotten position group for them for several years, basically since Julian Edelman's been gone.
And we saw them offer a bunch of money to Brandon Ayuk, to Chris Godwin, to DK Metcalf, and all three of those guys turned it down and didn't want to. So you have to keep at it, right? Maybe McLaurin will be the guy that says yes. I don't know. And I wonder, too, if coaching, at least they believe organizationally, is a big part of this. Because the reason I say that, Fitzy and I had Chad Graff on the night show back in January, right before Mayo got fired or right after. And he said that people in the organization he talked to believe then that they had a great draft in 2024 and those guys were poorly coached. Now, some of that could have been the front office covering their ass. I get it. But also, there might have been some truth, because none of their receivers last year, not only were their receivers not good last year, Mego, none of them got better as the year went on. There was nobody in that room that developed even a little bit that you said, oh, he's a better player in November than he was in August, right? No, Jalen Polk got worse. Baker got worse. DeMario Douglas, I felt like, even got a little worse. I mean, Kayshon Booty made some big plays. He had the touchdown against Houston, the one in Buffalo. To me, that was more about Drake May making great throws than it was necessarily about Booty dominating or making great plays. So I just think coaching is probably an issue there, but you also can't look at this room and say, wow, they have enough talent to be a good receiver room. Like, to me right now, they're in the 20s. With McLaurin, they could get to 15-ish.
Yeah, to Chad Graff's information on the coaching perspective, Keon White certainly helped that argument in minicamp.
Yeah, and I think there's something
says,
to that.
So this is what it's like to have a linebackers coach. I mean, Keon White, he's a very bright guy. That guy still saying crazy stuff. I love him. I don't know if we're going to continue to get that Keon White experience through training camp in the season, because I think Vrabel's going to shut that down in a big way. Let's grab a call before we get to trending. This is Brett in East Hampton. Brett, what do you think of the Terry McLaurin conversation?
I think it is a wonderful idea, and I think it's an absolutely unrealistic idea. But not only would... I would trade the first round pick. I know y'all said that you would do a second or a third. I would not only do a first round pick, I would do that with either Booty or Douglas, whoever you didn't want to keep. And then you've got McLaurin and Diggs on the outsides. And then whoever you keep out of Douglas or Booty can then be your slot guy. And then that is an actually like decent sounding offense. No?
All right. Thanks, Brett. Do you see Booty as a slot guy?
No.
I mean,
I honestly look at, if they got Terry McLaurin, I think we're talking about Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, and DeMario Douglas are on the field, and Kyle Williams is probably the fourth guy. So yeah. At best, Booty's the fifth guy, and maybe even it's Chisholm, Pohl, you know, someone else. Like, again, I know Kayshon Booty had a nice connection with Drake May last year. I know he made some big plays. I look at his career in total, and I'm not sold on him. I don't know if he gets it. This is a guy, let's not forget, got arrested for sports gambling, couldn't keep his feet in bounds against the Eagles in week one. I know it was week one 2 years ago, but couldn't keep his feet in bounds, has complained publicly about play calling, has been inconsistent from a production standpoint. Again, some nice plays with May, but also some really quiet moments too. I don't think he's a guy we should be looking at and say, oh, that's a guy they can develop and rely on. If you want a guy to develop and maybe rely on, I think it's Kyle Williams and DeMario Douglas. I don't think it's Kayshon Booty and Javon Baker.
Booty's most explosive game by far also came in the dreadful Bills game at the end of the season with Joe Milton III, which Buffalo wanted you to win. Like, yeah. I'm sorry.
Buffalo tried hard to lose that game.
I'm sorry.
I almost respected how much Buffalo tried to lose that
game. The stats don't exactly provide the context of what was happening in that situation. And if you've already forgotten it because you wiped it from your memory, I don't blame you, because it was just about the most disgusting end to an NFL season that you could possibly have.
Not ideal.
We're going to continue our Patriots talk on the other side, and we might take a little Bruins beat with John Lyons to get his take on what the Bruins did in free agency. I've already been on the record that I haven't been blown away by it, but we'll hear from you as well right after Trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What the hell is this, Jacob?
This is Brooklyn Bridge to the Chorus.
This is what now? What is it?
It is Brooklyn Bridge to the Chorus by the Strokes.
Oh, we go in all Strokes.
That's what it seems like.
Is this like a more recent Strokes song?
I think it's from 2020.
Okay, that's recent to me. That's about the last time I started listening to new music. So there we go. We are talking about everything Patriots, and more specifically, we're talking about Terry McLaurin from the Commanders remains in a holdout situation with Washington. What's the likelihood that he would actually end up in New England? I think it's pretty low, because I don't think they're going to get to the point where Terry McLaurin is actually available. I think this is just a quiet time in NFL world where people go on vacation and everybody's on the beach and hanging out at their lake house and
listening
not
to
trying
WEEI.
To figure out contracts, yeah. Listening to WEEI. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join the show and talk about Terry McLaurin or what else you would like to see the Patriots do as we're a couple of weeks away from training camp. Megan Ottolini here with John Lyons. We're in for Jones and Keefe for about another hour and a half. Text line is chiming in on Terry McLaurin. Mego, please don't get my hopes up like that. No way Scary Terry is coming to New England. To trade a first round pick for a 30-year-old wide receiver who will get $30 million a year is the most ridiculous, insane call of the year. And of course, from 508, sorry, but I will never laugh at, quote, explosive booty. He was only explosive against the Bills. Remember that. The Bills were trying to lose that game.
The game you didn't want to win.
You need to take your booty in context. Booty out of context. It looks like all of a sudden he figured out something at the very end of the year. Let's grab a call here. This is Mike in Randolph. Mike, you want to talk about the Patriots drafting?
Yeah, and first off, Kayshon Booty, he looked so good because of how bad the receivers have been. And this is a Bill Belichick, Elliot Wolf issue, okay? And what the way they've drafted, and this goes back to N'Keal Harry, right? They look at guys that have made big plays, but they don't look at guys that can get open right off of press coverage. And, I mean, Jalen Polk last year or when he was at Washington, was the third receiver on their depth chart. And he's just not, he can't get open. He's not quick. He's not fast. The same thing goes with N'Keal Harry. And when it comes to Mego, I'm going to agree with you when it comes to Terry McLaurin. I would give a first and a third because you need explosiveness. And you know what? 30-year-olds nowadays are not the 30-year-olds that were 20 years ago.
Hell yeah.
30-year-olds nowadays are
I agree.
Thank you, Mike and Randolph, speaking for all 30-somethings everywhere.
Yes.
Not what they were 20 years ago.
Yes, 29 plus.
For the record, I never sat here and said that I was giving a first-round pick for Terry McLaurin. I don't think Terry McLaurin's going to be available. A caller said that, and now we're doubling down and saying a first and a third. Look, if you think that the Patriots draft, even with Mike Vrabel in the system there, helping out making picks, is so dreadful, then you don't care what picks you're giving up. But yeah, it would be a big haul to give a first rounder for Terry McLaurin. Like, I don't
that's
think
why
that,
I said I'd give a second and a third.
I don't think Terry McLaurin is quite. I know his numbers last year were close to that of the Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson tier. I don't think he's quite that.
Yeah, I don't think he's one of the he's to me he's a top 10 receiver.
Yeah,
but there's a difference and between like, 9 and 2.
I'd say like he's probably like 7 or 8.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're being generous, we'll see. Does Jaden Daniels continue to take a step forward? Everyone in my personal life likes to tell me how much he's going to regress and or get injured because people like to hurt me emotionally. And I don't believe that. But we'll see what Terry McLaurin is next year. I think he's going to be with Washington. I think it is a wonderful opportunity if somehow he shakes loose from there and demands a trade. I would give up a lot for him. I would pay him $30 million a year. I agree. I think even at 30 years old, he's worth that. I just don't think it's going to be a reality. Like, I don't think it's going to be something that you should plan your summer around, seeing Terry McLaurin at training camp.
Like that the caller brought up guys getting off press. That always gets me excited.
That's the big question with Efton Chisholm the third.
By the way, that's the biggest reason to me Tyquan Thornton failed here too. Like that has been a problem that they've had a problem identifying guys to get off press for a long time, and that's actually why I'm excited about Kyle Williams, because I do want to see Kyle Williams get a little bit better in the intermediate and shorter route range, because we always look at him as a big play guy in college, but he is fantastic getting off the line. So that's one thing, and it's something that Jalen Polk was not good at. Javon Baker wasn't really that good at as well. And I don't think
we didn't really get to see what Javon Baker was.
But I think
Baker
that was part of it. One of the reasons he couldn't get on the field is he was, and you're right, we didn't see it.
He
a
didn't
ton.
Know where to line up to start with.
That, which
that's
is,
a problem.
That doesn't take any talent. Well, to know where to stand before the ball is snapped does not take any talent. So that to me, when guys struggle with that, that is a huge red flag.
The plus side of bringing back some of the receivers from last year is I do think we will finally get to answer how much of it was a dreadful coaching staff last year and how much of it was like some of these guys just don't get it and they won't play.
And I think we'll know that, honestly, Mego, by August 15th or 16th.
You think we'll know that in training camp?
I think we will, because I think we'll see it in training camp. Then they have the joint practice, which I believe is against Washington, right? They have the joint practice, and then their second preseason game is August 16th. I think we'll know by then if those guys at least can hold their own, right? Because if we see Jalen Polk and you and I are sitting there at training camp on July 30th and July 31st, and like, wow, this dude's still getting pushed around, then boom, that answers your question right there. Like, we're going to have a pretty good idea of that pretty early.
617-779-7937. If you need the number to text in or call, let's go to Jim in Bedford. Jim, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I like this combo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hey, Lyons, you were a football coach, right? Do I have that correct?
Correct, sir. Yes, I was a college football coach back in the day.
All right, cool. So I want to, you know, kind of surface something and see if you agree with it. Jalen Polk is a topic I'd like to bring up, not just because I don't think he's going to make it, but what he represents. And what he represents to me is something that's missing in the Patriots' talent evaluation at what I would call like the alpha wide receiver. I'm not talking about like the Welkers and the Edelmans of the world, or Pop Douglas or Chisholm if they get lucky. I'm talking about the guys, the X's and the Y's that can really break and get open. They haven't had a guy like that since Moss. And I think when you, that's why A, I want McLaurin, but B, when you have a guy like Jalen Polk drafted, he's a classic guy that has the traits. I think they can identify the traits of an alpha receiver, but not the talent. because they haven't had anyone in the house there since Moss left in 2010. And clearly, from a scouting and development standpoint, they just can't see it. When I watch Polk run, I see someone who's really long-footed. Like, I know Tom Curran really likes the way he runs, but to me, he looks like he gallops like a horse. Like, he can't break free and get open. And it seems to be a real pattern with what they can and what they can't evaluate at the alpha receiver position. So I'd be all in on McLaurin, and I'd go as high as, like, I don't know, like 2 twos or a 2 and a 3 to get him.
2 twos.
Yeah, and I think to the caller's question about, like, the identifying talent, like, Chris Hogan did lead the league in yards per reception in 2016, so they did identify a guy on the outside who was a really good player. But on the whole, they've done a pretty good job, and this goes back to Belichick, but you can include Mayo, Vrabel. They can identify veteran free agents pretty well. Like, I mentioned Hogan, but Danny Amendola was good for them, right? Philip Dorsett even made some big plays for them in playoff games. So they can identify some veterans, but they've struggled. You can go back to, especially guys, I look at guys they targeted, right? Like, first, like, Aaron Dobson had some traits, but wasn't the guy. N'Keal Harry had some traits, but wasn't the guy. Jalen Polk had some traits, but wasn't the guy. So the traits thing, I think they sometimes have gone for Tyquan Thornton, to me, is the best example of it, because they picked him over George Pickens. And
but
I know,
it wasn't that just the speed gun.
It was the relative athletic score.
It was just looking at it and saying, what was it? You want to get fast? You get fast guys,
right? And I think the issue has been they look at some of these traits because, and look, I know George Pickens had some attitude issues and he got traded by Pittsburgh. But I think if you just sit there and you say, all right, Tyquan Thornton, George Pickens, which guy is just a better football player? Pretty obvious it was George Pickens, but they went with the traits. And I think sometimes traits can be a good thing, especially later in the draft. It's one of the reasons I think they got Edelman, right? They saw some traits there later in the draft, became a Super Bowl MVP. But I think sometimes, especially higher in the draft, you got to sometimes just sit there and say, okay, who's the better football player? Like, A.J. Brown was a better football player than N'Keal Harry. Now, Harry was great in college. A lot of people were wrong about that, myself included. I thought he'd be pretty good. But A.J. Brown was better than him in college, and they went more with the traits of Harry. Whereas when they got it right, Rob Gronkowski had great traits, but he was also a great college football player when healthy, and they went for it. So I think that's been an issue, especially at receiver they've had, where they focus too much on certain traits, and they don't always sometimes look at just who's the better player sometimes.
I'm kind of obsessed with, like, the trait scouting. I love that call, that guy saying that he runs long-footed. Like, yeah. That is so funny to me, because there are certain things that when you're just sitting there watching guys in shorts and shells, I do notice, like, Travion Henderson, when he runs, he, like, points his toes like a dancer. I mean, that guy, like, watching him run is, like, I don't know. It's like, it is gazelle-like. Like, it's beautiful to watch. And I can see how you can be, like, taken by that when you're watching somebody go through drills and go through the combine and go through pro days. And
Chad Jackson's
say, that's
another
our
great
guy.
Example.
I'm not saying
06.
That doesn't mean that great he's not going to be good. But then on the flip side of that, especially you with your coaching background, when you hear about somebody like my personal pet project, Ecton Chisholm III, and I've talked to his coaches from high school and college, and they say, he's just open. He just understands space.
And
he
who does that sound like, Mayo?
He just understands. They're like, he's never going to run the 40 time you want. He's never going to have the catch radius that you want. He's not going to have any of the measurables you're looking for, but he's open. And then he catches the ball, so the quarterback always looks to him. And do we still, in this analytical age, look at that eye test and say those things matter? Or is it, well, like, he's just never going to fit into the measurables that we're looking for.
And sorry to cut you off, but the player you just described without describing him is Jacoby Myers, right? Was never going to, you know, win a 40 competition, was never going to make these game-breaking plays. And part of this, I think, might have been his previous quarterback experience, but he always found a way to get open, right? Same thing with Danny Amendola. Always found a way.
Almost exactly like Chisholm, by the way.
To get open. And I think that is really valuable. And you look at the good young receivers they've had recently, it's really only DeMario Douglas, finds a way to just, and he has the quickness traits. So again, traits matter, but I think sometimes the Patriots have gotten too hung up on, hey, this relative athletic score or this 40 time or this thing at receiver is so important. And if you look at the other positions, like, they've always drafted and developed cornerbacks really well. And they do look at traits, like Gonzalez had long arms and he's big, but they also just looked at hey, this Jonathan Jones guy is a good player. Like, let's bring him in. Right? Stephon Gilmore is a great player, so let's give him a bunch of money and bring him in. And so those guys obviously had traits, but they also were just really good football players that fit the system, and we've seen them just have a blind spot with that. And again, this is the last time that they drafted a receiver high that was actually good, and correct me if I'm wrong, Deion Branch in 2002.
Mm.
Like, that's, and I'm talking first three rounds, because I know Edelman was great, but he's a seventh round guy. The last time they took a guy in the first three rounds that was an actual good receiver, Deion Branch. And 23 years ago? Like, that's a problem.
Let's grab one more call before we hit the pace and bells. Steven in Milton. What's up, Steven?
Hi. I was listening to you guys earlier talking about what the Patriots should do to get Terry McLaurin, and kind of talk about the wide receiver room that the Patriots have. I don't think we gave Jalen Polk a very fair shake his rookie season. I know he has a lot more seasons to go, but I think everybody's expectations of him were a little bit high. And I think the rotation for the Patriots of the wide receivers should be Stephon Diggs, Polk, Baker, and Kyle Williams. And then have Efton Chisholm, Kayshawn Booty, and DeMario Douglas kind of trade off with the wide receiver five. And if we're going to go get Terry McLaurin, I think we should give up either Booty or Pop Douglas, just to make sure that the Commanders are getting a good wide receiver in exchange for their wide receiver.
All right. Thank you, Steven.
Very liberal use of good when he said good wide receiver. Thanks
there,
for the call.
The issue that I have with Jalen Polk in his rookie season, outside of the drops and the struggle that he had compared to others in his class, and most notably Ladd McConkey, who you could have had in the spot that you traded out of, was that the scouting report on him was he's Jacoby Myers plus as a football player and an excellent character guy for the locker room. Immediate, like, turnkey leader type guy that you're going to be able to pair with Drake May long term. And unfortunately, I don't think he showed a ton of that in his rookie season, at least publicly. Who knows behind the scenes? But publicly, he's the guy who's dropping a ball and then saying, I have the best hands in the league. I have no struggles with my mental game. And I think little things like that, with how dysfunctional the season was last year, kind of doubled down the issues for him.
Yeah, and I think it's similar, not to cross sports too much, but the conversation we have with Walker Buehler and the Red Sox, like, it's tough to be a vocal leader when you're playing really poorly, especially a guy like Jalen Polk as a rookie, too. It's not like Jalen Polk has this cachet of, oh, I've been an NFL veteran, this and that. Like, Stephon Diggs can walk in and be a leader because he's had, what, 5,000-yard seasons. He's been to the AFC Championship game and all this stuff. Polk doesn't have that, right? So it's tough for him to walk in and do that. And I do think he was poorly coached last year. Like, they didn't get better. Or how many times did Alex Van Pelt motion Polk into the wing to use him as a blocker? Like, I don't understand why you're doing that in the first place, and then to do it multiple times. So, like, I think he was poorly coached, but I mean, what evidence did he give you also that's like, oh, he's going to be a big part of the offense? Like, at least last year, DeMario Douglas has given you some evidence the last couple of years, okay, he can be part of a pretty good offense. Like, Stephon Diggs, there's evidence to back up he can be part of a pretty good offense. Even, and I'm down on Kayshawn Booty, but at least he made some plays. Like, there's some evidence there that he can be part of it. You don't have any evidence with Polk. I mean, as their wide receiver room is constituted right now, Mego, I'm looking at this offense saying, man, they're going to use two running backs a lot. Like, that's like Travion Henderson's going to play.
There's going to be some fullback action, too. I can almost guarantee that.
Yeah. And their tight end room is pretty thin, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. On the other side, I want to address something that I read earlier this week. And if you're sitting in traffic and you're going to some beautiful destination and that destination happens to be on Cape Cod, this one goes out to you, because there are a lot of people out there in New England who are saying Cape Cod and the traffic, it ain't worth it anymore. It's not worth it. Well, hit that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
On the other side. This conversation goes out to everybody sitting in traffic, whether you're going up to my favorite place, Maine, going down to Cape Cod, trying to make a ferry, going out to the islands, maybe you're going out west somewhere, maybe you're going up to a beautiful lake in New Hampshire. The Boston Globe, John Lyons, has some, I think it's a newsletter called Starting Point. I'm honestly not super familiar with it, but I did get one of these alerts in my email earlier this week about Cape Cod traffic. And I think that this is just like catnip for the former reporter in me, because I love these stories that are just about people bitching and venting about something that everybody has to deal with.
So you must really love sports radio.
I do. Yes. I do. But the question that they posed to their readers was essentially, is Cape Cod the destination worth the traffic circle of hell that you find yourself in during the summer or any major holidays? And here's some of the responses that they got. Frank from the North Shore wrote, "Sorry, but no amount of time could make up for the horrendous traffic. I haven't been to Cape Cod in 30 years. Jeff from Middleton said, "I've barely seen my parents in a decade since they moved to the Cape." So I'm assuming that's Middleton, Rhode Island?
There is a Middleton, Mass, I think.
So it must be Middleton, Mass. So you live in the same state as your parents, but you can't bear to go down to the Cape to see them.
Even in the off-season, dude? Come on. Of course, in February.
There were many, many, many who emailed to explain the secret to beating Cape traffic. Several even insisted the secret was so good, I was forbidden to share it. Regardless, I'll tell you, are you ready? Leave really early or really late, or go at non-peak times. One woman wrote in and said the stress of the traffic, the calculations about what time will be best, maybe if we wait until 10 p.m. to drive, etc., in addition to the cost, makes the Cape feel alien and distant. Somebody else said, I hit my wall with the Cape about 7 years ago, had been going almost every weekend for 25 years as an adult, can't do it anymore. Traffic has sucked the fun out of it. Were you ever a Cape person, or do you ever aspire to be a Cape Cod person?
No, there's only two reasons I go down to the Cape, Mega. One is I have a buddy that lives down the Cape, so I'll go down there.
It's a good reason.
And sometimes he comes to my house actually more often than not. But that or Treehouse Brewery and Sandwich. Only two reasons I'm going down the Cape is one of those two things, because I look at the Cape as, because I'm from Massachusetts, not really the draw for me. Like, if I really want to go to the beach, which I don't, but if I really wanted to, I can just go to like Plymouth or something. You know, I'm not going over the bridge, sitting in a bunch of traffic. To me, the Cape is about the people that live there and out-of-staters that like, or way Western Mass people that really want to get to the beach. Because if you live either on the North Shore or the South Shore and you're reasonably close to the beach, You really don't have to go down to the... I mean, it's...
It's true. It's sneaky true. I love Cape Cod. I think it has some of the most beautiful beaches in New England. But between what you could get in Rhode Island at those beaches, like Rhode Island beaches, I think, are...
Hampton Beach in New Hampshire with a great hill show.
Underrated.
Show,
I've actually never been to Hampton Beach.
Really nice up there, too.
Yeah. I tend to go towards mostly Maine beaches because my parents are up there part-time. So... I love Maine beaches, even though the water is way too freaking freezing for me. Like, I just think that it's impressive that there's so many other options and people still sit in this traffic. Like, everybody has a story getting off the Cape where they thought it was going to be a two-hour drive with traffic, and they find themselves sitting in that bridge traffic for four-plus hours.
And this is after there's been years of construction.
Everybody's done it. Everybody's been in tears or close to tears. And for me, it's just times in the past when it's been me and one other person, one other adult, or a car full of friends. I can't imagine going through that with a family, with little kids in the backseat, and getting stuck for 4 hours on that godforsaken bridge. Like, I can't imagine with all the other masshole drivers. I can't figure out how it would feel like it would be worth it. There's so many other places to go. I love the Cape. It's beautiful. If you're blessed enough to get down there on weekends, or if you get to spend your whole summer down there, wonderful for you. I'll probably take my vacations elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I think it is so much dependent on, like, I live on the South Shore, so I'll just go to Plymouth if I want to go to the beach. Like, for me, but the Cape, is, like, when I go down to the Cape, I mentioned, like, I go down from my buddy's house in Treehouse Brewery, right? So I'm not going to go down on a summer weekend for that. Like, if I go down the Cape, it's going to be in the winter or on, like, a Tuesday or a Wednesday in the summer.
But
like, take a day off and go
down. The other thing, John, is, like, my in-laws, they have, my husband's family has extended family who live in Centerville, and they like to do a lot of holidays down there. And my in-laws had the experience of going down there for Easter and being trapped in the hellscape traffic on the bridge in Easter. And it's a miserable weekend in April where it's not even nice.
Yeah. I bet, like, you Christmas is probably like that.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I've gone down there.
It's awful.
Like, yeah. Like, I've gone down there in, like, say, February, and there's no traffic, or like a Tuesday in May, there's no traffic. But yeah, like, to me, a Cape weekend is not my idea of a fun vacation, because A, I'm not a big beach person, in fairness, but also
if you're not a beach person, there's not a hell of a lot for you to do down there.
Right. But also, if I'm going to spend my whole vacation stressed out about the commute one way or the other, that is not a fun vacation.
Here's the other thing. The Cape is so spread out, which is a nice thing about it in some ways, because you can get some very beautiful isolated beaches. But it's so spread out that, let's say you're in Chatham and you have people visiting and you want to drive out to Wellfleet or Provincetown and show them stuff out there, there's Cape traffic there.
Yeah.
Like, there's one point where the highway breaks down from two lanes to one lane, and that's a hellscape of its own. So it's like you're trapped in different parts of the Cape, too. I don't know. Like, I feel bad because I know it's one of those places. We all have places where we grew up going and we have such an affinity, and you want to pass it down to your children, or you want to show other people the places that you love. And then you get there and you're like, holy hell, I can't. Hell is other people. There's so many people on the road. I can't go anywhere. Once we go there, there's no parking in the parking lot. Once we get up to the clam shack, it's a 25-minute line just to go get the buzzer for your food. And there's no picnic tables open. Like, it's just, I can't do it. I don't have the patience for it anymore. I'll go to Maine. I love Maine. Don't come up there because I don't want it to turn into
love
the Cape.
Portland. I love going up.
Portland's the greatest. That's where I got married a year ago.
There we go. Right. Yeah. I love going up there. But yeah, and the crazy thing to me, Mego, is I feel like even now it's still better than it used to be. And it's still terrible, right? Like, they've done a lot of construction on the roads. They've widened roads. They got rid of one of the rotaries or whatever. So it's better, but it's still maddening to be in that trust. Like I said, if somebody invites me down the Cape for a weekend in the summer, I'm inclined to just say no.
Okay, so there you heard it. Don't even invite John Lyons.
No, invite
he's
me.
Not
I want
show
the
up.
Courtesy of the invite.
No, he's not even going to show up. So that goes out to you, Fitzy. Don't even bother inviting John Lyons
to invite me
Cape
on
House.
A Wednesday, Fitzy. I will come. Tuesday, I will come
I'm
down.
I'm sure he won't have anything to do from 2 to 6. He'll invite you down to the Cape.
No, hey, I'll show up there at 1:30. You know, no problem.
Okay, well, we had the Red Sox end their series against the Reds on, a low note last night, a very low note, especially in the final three innings. They won the series, but what are your takeaways from the way that that series ended against the Reds? We'll get back to Red Sox right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.